What if the reason some of your students struggle to read has nothing to do with motivation and everything to do with how their brain was taught to process print? Today's episode is for every teacher who has ever wondered, why does this child know their letters but still can't read? Welcome to the K through third Reading Made Simple podcast. Hello, I'm Amanda Bowen, your host. Today's episode is called Phonics Isn't Old School, It's Brain-Based. In this episode, you will learn why phonics is essential, not optional, understand what structured literacy actually means, and walk away with classroom strategies that change lives. Welcome to K through third, Reading Made Simple, the podcast for early childhood and primary teachers who want to teach reading with confidence, clarity, and heart. My name is Amanda Bowen, and I am a reading interventionalist and your host. Here we focus on building strong readers and writers using practical, evidence-based strategies grounded in the science of reading research without the overwhelm. You'll find clear, simple ideas that you can adapt and use in a way that works best for your classroom. We'll also talk about organization, routines, and teacher lifestyle habits to help you protect your time, your energy, and your joy, because great instruction starts with a supported teacher. Let's build strong readers and a teaching life that feels lighter, calmer, and more confident. Have you ever worked with a sweet kindergarten student that loved books and memorized stories where she could tell you exactly what happened in every picture? But when that child tried to read, she guessed. She skipped words. She looked at pictures instead of letters. In my Orton-Gillingham training, I learned something that changed everything. This student didn't need more exposure. She needed better instruction. Once learners are taught phonics explicitly, systematically, and cumulatively, their reading explodes. Let's talk about phonics. This is the connection between letters and sounds and how we use those connections to read and spell words. Phonics is how children learn that m-a-p says map, not mop or monkey. It matters because phonics gives children a predictable decoding system instead of guessing. According to Read Naturally, phonics is one of the five essential components of reading and is critical for word recognition and spelling. For decades, classrooms were divided between balanced literacy and structured literacy. Lexia explains that the reading wars revealed that explicit phonics instruction produces stronger reading outcomes than cueing and guessing methods. In my letters training, we discovered that reading is not natural. It must be taught directly. You may hear, phonics is boring. Kids will just figure it out. But research consistently shows that explicit phonics instruction prevents reading failure, especially for struggling readers and students with dyslexia. The National Reading Panel tells us that systematic phonics instruction significantly improves children's reading skills. Let's talk about structured literacy and phonics. What is it? Structured literacy teaches phonics in a systematic, cumulative, and explicit sequence. According to Orton-Gillingham research, structured literacy is the most effective approach for all learners, especially those with dyslexia. Students learn patterns in a predictable, brain-friendly way. Structured literacy needs to follow three principles: explicit, sequential, and diagnostic. Here's how you can get started today. Teach phonics patterns in an order that is progressive. Spiral review previously taught phonics skills every day, and use decodable text after students have understood a phonics skill. Decodable texts are wonderful because they allow students to apply their phonics skill knowledge. In last week's episode, we talked about phonemic awareness. If you'd like a little bit more information on that, dive into that episode. But now I'd like to address how phonemic awareness and phonics can be used together. Phonemic awareness is hearing sounds, and phonics is connecting those sounds to written letters. Hegarty explains that phonemic awareness must come before and alongside phonics. Here's why this matters. Students who can't hear sounds can't map them into letters. And in last week's episode, I talked about a couple different phonemic awareness strategies that you could use in your classroom. One way to be able to integrate it with phonics is to be able to actually have, instead of just using sound boxes that represent individual sounds, is to have sound boxes that have letters on them. Something like Scrabble tiles, or you can actually get a lot of educational resources that already have letters written on them that students can use for sound tapping. And another thing that you could do is you can always just write them out on index cards, all of the different letters, and students can use those for different sound boxes. In last week's episode, we talked about saying a word such as cat, and then the students would have three sound boxes in front of them, and they would segment that word that I had said blended together as one word. I said it as cat. They would say the individual sounds, k, a, t. As they say each of the individual sounds, they would move up a tile. In this example, they would put their finger on the letter tile C as they say the sound and move that letter tile up. Then they would put their next finger on the letter tile A as they say ah. And then lastly, put their finger on the letter tile T as they say t. Another thing that you could do is have your students use Elkonin boxes. Elkonin boxes are your visual teaching tools, and they're going to have a series of squares, and each square that is empty will represent one sound that is heard in a word. For example, I would provide students with three Elkonin boxes, and then I would ask them to segment the word chop into each of the Elkonin boxes. For the word chop, they would segment the sounds into ch, ah, p. As they're segmenting each of those sounds, they're also going to write each of the sounds into one of the Elkonin boxes. They would say ch and write ch in the first box. Then they would say ah and write o in the second box. Then they would say p and write P in the third box. Another activity that you can do is daily oral blending. And this is when you say sounds segmented within a word and have the students blend it into a word. For example, if I was to say ch-a-p and ask the students to blend it, they would respond with chop. Before we jump back in, I want to share something just for you. If you're tired of spending hours planning and still feeling behind, I created a free teacher checklist of my three must-have apps with a bonus lesson plan template included to help make things easier. Inside, you'll discover the three top digital tools to simplify lesson planning, support structured literacy, and give your students self-checking phonics practice. Grab your free checklist at MsAmandaBowen.com/free. And Ms. Amanda Bowen is all one word. I'd love to welcome you into our teacher community. All right, let's jump back into the episode. Let's talk about how to apply decodable reading into your phonics session. After a phonemic awareness drill, I then like to move into decodable reading. Decodable texts allow children to practice taught patterns, not guess. Sometimes there's some very rich, wonderful read alouds that have a great place in teaching vocabulary, in teaching different things with phonemic awareness. However, they are not the same as a decodable text. A decodable text is simply a passage that has previously taught phonics skills as well as the phonics skills that the students are currently working on. And then it has a couple of high frequency words that are sprinkled in through the passage. As a result, students are really allowed to practice all of their phonics skills, have them come together, and just see how to apply all of this hard work into reading well. Students who use decodable text build stronger word recognition. It's really important to be able to help students build that automaticity, which is going to then lead to better fluency with the decodable text. Not only do decodable text help students be able to increase their confidence, but it also helps students to build stronger word recognition. And as we know, when students are able to have stronger word recognition, they're going to have a higher level of automaticity and they're going to have a reduced cognitive load. So they're not thinking as much about being able to sound out a word. They're thinking more about what the word means in context of the passage. When students can do that, it's going to increase their ability to comprehend the meaning that they're reading about in that passage itself. Here are a couple of different strategies that you can use in your classroom to help students be able to lead up to longer decodable passages. The first strategy that I love using is word chaining with word work boards. This can be done just with alphabet tiles. This could be done on a dry erase board with a marker. This could be done with pen and paper. There's a lot of different ways to do it. I will say a word, and let's go back to some of the previous examples. I could say the word cat and have students segment the sounds. Then they would write or use the letter tiles to create the word cat. Next, I would say change one of the sounds in cat to make the new word hat. Once again, they're going to segment all the sounds in the word hat. Then they're going to change the initial letter, that initial C, to the letter H. If students are working with word work tiles, I will have them switch out those tiles. If students are working with pencil and paper, they can just write next to or below the word cat. They can write the word hat. And one of the nice things about having students write all of the words out with your dry erase board or with pencil and paper is that they can see how the words are changing from line to line. Another great thing about these word work word chains is that it allows students to have the opportunity to practice spelling. As I talked about in a previous episode where we went into the science of reading, spelling is important for students for them to have that dictation process because it allows them to be able to reinforce their ability to decode words. And decoding words is going to also help them be able to spell better. They just work hand in hand with each other. I like students to be able to practice both of those. Another strategy that you can use in your classroom is blending lines. Blending lines are great because it helps students be able to really have a lot of confidence because it starts out with students where they're practicing their phonic skill with just a single word at a time on the first blending line. Then they'll go to the next blending line and they'll practice that same phonic skill in a phrase. Next, they'll then practice the same phonic skill in a sentence. And when students can have that opportunity, then they're able to feel that confidence and like, yes, I can do this. Once they are given a whole passage that may be a paragraph, maybe it's a page or two, but it helps them know that they can do it. And this is really important to build that confidence with those struggling readers so that they know that they are capable. Sometimes they come to us and they feel a little defeated, and we want to let them know that they can do this. They've got this. Let's wrap up. Today, you learned that phonics is absolutely essential for being able to strengthen students' reading skills. Next, structured literacy works. We've heard some great strategies that you can use in the classroom and also been given some proof of how well this works to give students that explicit, systematic, and cumulative instruction so that they know what to do and they're not guessing. We learned why the decodables help students and they matter so much. You are not behind. You are not broken. You are becoming informed, and that makes you powerful. Strong readers are built, not guessed. Your teaching matters. Your instruction matters. And your students are lucky to have you. Until next time, keep teaching. Thanks for listening to the K-3 Reading Made Simple podcast. Just remember, teacher friend, I'm not here to tell you what to do in your classroom. Everything I share is meant to support you by sharing research-backed ideas and what has worked in my own teaching, not to give individualized advice. Take what's helpful, leave the rest, and always choose what works best for you and your students. Stay connected with the K-3 Reading Made Simple podcast. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode packed with practical literacy strategies and ideas to make teaching, reading, and writing feel simpler and more joyful. Click subscribe on your favorite podcast app and join our growing community of K-3 teachers who are passionate about helping students succeed. Let's make teaching reading and writing simpler, more effective, and more joyful.